Well, hello and welcome to the No Filter Needed podcast, where we cut the fluff, expel those myths, and kick unobtainable standards to the curb. I am your host, Camilla Collins, self-image consultant, author, and founder of multiple beauty and creative entertainment agencies. I am super passionate about empowering people to change their self-perception and reimagine not just the beauty, but the huge amount of power within themselves. And this podcast is in support of my mission to do just that. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. Today I'm joined by the lovely Claire Perry-Louise. Now, Claire is a purpose-driven entrepreneur. She's also an author and a speaker, and she's been consulting in the culture and community space since 2013. And her vision is for a world where employee happiness is the norm and not the exception. She's also been recognized by Facebook as an elite leader. But regardless of whether you run your own company or not, I think there will be something in this episode for everybody. So Claire, welcome. Hello. And thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Camilla. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for that lovely, lovely introduction. Although my internet froze in the middle. So I was thinking, oh, but anyway, it was amazing.
Yeah, well, it's all true. And you are fabulous, because I just love watching your little social posts and your musing, and you know, you really are you're great at connecting with people, and you really are a connector as well. And in fact, you know, you really helped me out getting this podcast off the ground back this time last year. So I did your course just to, you know, check all the boxes and make sure I got everything right. So I'm massively thankful and grateful to you for all of that. But let's talk about your story, because you used to be a lawyer, right? So what made you change paths? Because I know you're super passionate about all of this that you do now. So where did the change come from?
So, yeah, I mean, I became a lawyer because my dad said, well, I actually wanted to go into hotel management. And dad was like, Claire, go to university and do something that you can carry through with you. So he said, do law. So I did law. And then I came out and I took a year out and I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I think actually I went out for a drink one night and some guy said, you don't want to be working there, because I had some temp job. He said, you want to go back and be a solicitor. So I went home and told my dad I was going back to university, and he was like, yes. And then, so I went down that pathway, but it was not really, I was never super inspired by it. There was, you know, that it just wasn't inspiring. It's almost like I followed that pathway because it was a set pathway, which is so different to being an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur, you have to find your way. And being a lawyer, you know, I went to school, I did A-levels, I went to university, I did a diploma in law, I got a training contract, and then I came out at the end with my certificate. So, and then, 2012-13, actually on YouTube, I was introduced to a guy who called Simon Coulson, and he teaches people how to make money online. And he's been doing it for years and years, and he ran this 3-day training course. And I went on the 3-day training course, and I just thought, wow, I love this. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to work for myself. And from that, I really tapped into something I learned at that course, which was about membership sites. And so I just embarked on this journey from where, going on that course, I was too scared to be on the M25. I didn't want to get out in the hotel car park, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in this scary place called London and I don't want to do this. And then I went to a space where I was speaking at events around the world, traveling alone. So it was really the beginning of a massive transformation for me. So, started off with membership sites, and then I really came to understand that it's not about the membership site, because that's the tool. It's about building community. And that's why I really focused on building community back in the day. And now it's much more popular and people know a bit more about what I'm talking about, but it wasn't so popular back in the day. So,
my God. So that's
a bit of a background.
Amazing. And I've just, well, okay, there's loads of things I want to pick out there, particularly towards the end, but you know, even how did you That just sounds super scary, suddenly just being catapulted into like going around the world and kind of speaking in particular as well. You know, public speaking is something that a lot of people struggle with, even confident people, you know, kind of finding their voice and collating. We can all say it in our heads really well, can't we? But as soon as we just freeze. So how did you find the, was it kind of a journey of getting the confidence to do all of that?
Definitely. And I think this is something that I see as well. And I was talking about this on Instagram this week as well, about how there's so many programs out there promising X, Y, and Z and these results. And from my own experience, when you read out that bio about me, you know, I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual process. So with the speaking, following on from doing the program with Simon, I joined his mentorship program. And from that, there was an opportunity to speak. And so Simon said to me, you know, would you like to do a presentation at one of my groups for my clients? And I was, you know, a bit apprehensive. And I remember doing it, and it probably wasn't great. And I probably did things, I depreciated myself or made jokes that probably I shouldn't have made or whatever. But that was the thing. It was like getting in the game and practicing. And so then I did it again. It was a bit easier. And then I think one of the most important lessons I've learned is just ask for feedback as well, and then try and act on that feedback. So someone said, don't put yourself down all the time. Because I do use comedy, or I do make jokes and things, and don't put yourself down, for example. So I learned that. So then it's just about getting out there and trying it and being nervous. And I think the other thing is, when I was a solicitor, I would not even speak in a meeting. But I found something that I was so passionate about. So it doesn't ever scare me to be on an interview or to be asked about what I do, because it's almost building community, building relationships, and helping people, you know, improve their businesses and their lives. It's just part of almost like my DNA. So it's so much easier to speak about something that you're so passionate about. So no one could ask me a question I didn't know the answer to necessarily, because, you know, I loved it. Whereas don't ask me about law. I mean, my dad still asks me questions about law that he learned from the bank, which, like, do you remember this case law? I'm like, no, dad, no one needs that anymore. You know, but it's not like that now. So, yeah, so that's how I kind of got through those early stages. And I think that's what, if you want to go and be a speaker, just get a speaking gig. Like, there's no point just doing courses on it. And actually, I did do a speaking course, actually. So I did, you know, I took the opportunities to train. But the most important is get out there, practice, and try, because that's where you'll get the experience from. So, and I'm still trying.
So true. Well, we all are still learning, aren't we? You know, we can always be better, and that doesn't mean that we're bad. It just means there's always room for improvement. But recognizing as well how far you've come. And again, definitely, you know, kind of tracking. That's why I guess it kind of helps to have some footage or something as well, so you can refer back to as like a tracking technique.
Footage. I'm like, no, I mean, all this stuff I'm talking about was all recorded. I could get footage from that first event because it was all recorded.
I want to see it.
Watch it. Oh no. And then actually, I did Pitch Fest with Dent. Did you do Pitch Fest?
No, I don't know what happened with that. I don't even think it went ahead. I remember because we filmed, we had to film a little social pitch or something on the, just for the listeners, by the way, Dent is a program that both Claire and I were on. It's a business accelerator. But you, what year were you? Which year?
Well, I don't know. I was KPI 16. So it was about probably 16, maybe 2016, probably. I don't know. But yeah, then you got this opportunity to do a pitch of your business in front of a massive room full of investors and entrepreneurs. I did that. And I was like, I can't do this. And I did it. And actually, I was a runner-up. But I got offered like £200,000 worth of funding or something from the, you know, like, it was super cool. But that's on YouTube. I couldn't bear to watch that either. Oh no. And I didn't think I was going to win. No, I didn't think I was going to get through, because you had to go through two different rounds. So I wasn't really wearing the appropriate clothes or anything. So I was like, you're not going to get through, Claire. But anyway, I did. Hurrah. Keep practicing, keep pitching.
Just been on a roll ever since. Mm. That's amazing. I'm going to track down that footage because I am. Now I know where it is. Here on YouTube, I will find it. But yeah, it's just so true. You've got to take the action and kind of learn on the job. And I guess, you know, with something like law, like it's textbook stuff. Like there's a lot of kind of, it's the law, it's there, you learn it. Whereas other stuff, and I resonate with it. I resonate with you on that because I kind of feel the same with a lot of stuff that I talk about now compared to, I guess, like makeup stuff we learn. And if I look into, you know, confidence, lifestyle, mindset, all that kind of stuff, it comes from within, and it's, you know, it's been lived, it's not been learned. It has been learned as I've lived, but it's not come from elsewhere. It's come from within. And when you find that, that kind of sweet spot, that thing within you, then you're just, you know, it's endless, isn't it? You can talk about it on and on and have the confidence to talk about it. Yeah, there's no right or wrong with it.
Yeah, definitely.
So you say, so creating a community, you know, encourages people to have a voice. So I'm still training on with this theme here. And in what way, because I can see how that happens. And you, I guess you had one person kind of guiding you through with your first, giving you that little nudge to get up and speak. But I think collectively, when you've got a community of people together, it encourages them all to sort of speak up, doesn't it, really, to have the confidence to kind of voice their opinions. Is that what you mean by that?
Well, I definitely, there's something in the collective and where you are around people, and that's why, you know, it's so important who you hang around with, because they, you know, they encourage you and help you and, you know, to express yourself. But I think the reason that I feel so connected to giving people a voice is that personally, in my personal life and my professional life, I spent many years not really feeling like I could express myself. So in terms of, you know, in my workplace, there was very set ways in the solicitor's firm that I worked with, and they wanted to use precedent letters. So that means letters they'd written out, and then you just changed the top to Dear Mrs. Jones. And then you had to send that out. And I remember having a discussion with one of the partners saying, yeah, but I met her and I wanted to express, you know, our conversation. No, that's not how we do it. And so I remember giving some feedback and then saying, no, Claire, that's not how we do it. And I remember that then I just shut down, and that's probably my response. So I just kept quiet. So the next time we had a meeting, I didn't say anything. And the thing is that didn't get me anywhere. It didn't help me evolve as an individual. It didn't help the firm. I was disengaged in my work. And the thing about building community is it's one of those words that sometimes is super, like, what do you mean by building community? I mean, it's about, you know, it's about building relationships, and it's about connecting with people who have the same shared identity and shared vision as you, because that's why you'll have really thriving communities, say, for people who are doing ultra marathon running, because it's really, really tight knit. You know who's meant to be part of it. Like, are you running an ultra marathon? Yes. Okay, this community could be for you. Are you not? No. And you just know you won't fit in there, and you won't get the lingo, and you won't be part of it. And the thing is in it, I feel like the workplace is so, it's like this sort of silo where they expect you to go in and not really have a life outside of work. And you know, I'd go in and sit at my desk and answer the questions that I was posed by clients and draft documents and things, and then I'd leave. And especially in bigger organizations, if you can be more connected with the people in your firm or, you know, in your business organization, then there's an opportunity to have conversations or get assistance from others. So if I had a problem at work, And I knew that somebody in the sales department, not that we have sales departments in a law firm, but say you've got someone in product and you've got someone in sales. If you're able to have a conversation between those two departments, there's a basis of innovation. There's a basis for people to, you know, just have conversations and say, well, this happened in my experience, and that can translate into, you know, a solution for the problems you're having. So in terms of giving a voice, the other thing is if you build trust with others and you do that through community, through, you know, shared conversations, shared identity, etc., then you are much more likely to have empathy for others as well. So say I didn't hit a deadline. If you had built trust with your fellow employees and colleagues, they would say, oh, Claire didn't hit her deadline because her children were up all night because they had chicken pox or whatever. They might know that. And so they, you know, they'd be more lenient on me, or they might say, Claire, can I help you with any parts of what you're doing to get you to the deadline? But what I see is that it's all so often in workplaces, it's like them and us, and like Claire's failed to do this, Claire's that. Whereas actually, if you seek to lead with empathy and you seek to understand and you seek to have the conversation, then I think that we can shift people's lives. And that's why, you know, I'd love a world where employee happiness was the norm and not the exception, because generally in the workplace people just go to work because it's a job, and so many people don't do it because they're inspired. And so I want people just to feel more heard and more seen and more like they can connect with like-minded people. Because I think if you can shift people's, you know, just shift people so they feel seen and heard, then they're going to feel better and they're going to interact better with their family. And then the knock-on effect is massive. So it's so much more than just, you know, like what's building community. I mean, it's building relationships and it's building a better world, really. I mean, I could go on about it forever.
I totally agree with you. And this is, you know, similar to kind of the stuff. So I'm working with a company called Emblaze. You might know Stephen Willard, who has Emblaze. And we call it work, you know, work, talking about work life, but I feel very much, and this might come from the fact that I've worked for myself for literally forever, for so long. I did, you know, short term I was a PA, then I was a recruitment consultant, so I had a little kind of stint, but no like massive kind of corporate companies. But my work and my personal life has always been intertwined, and it's something that actually could be a bit of a struggle to then separate work, you know, when I'm working and when I'm not, when my time off, otherwise I'm constantly switched on. But you know, I feel that they both benefit each other, and even, you know, relationships or connections that you have in your personal life can benefit your work life, and you can sort of, you know, mix. You have like socials at work anyway, don't you? People play golf and all of that. But I just think there's, you know, blending the two together, and that, you know, there's a really nice way of doing it. Just make it doesn't. It's not like you have to put this facade on when you're at the office, or you have to be someone else. You can be yourself the whole time. Obviously, you look probably slightly more relaxed and different at home and out of work, but you know, it's kind of blending that sort of together. And I think empathy, you mentioned empathy, which is massively important for all of us, and such a great skill to have to make people feel understood, which I think is really important, so they can open up and they can have the confidence in themselves to perform better at work, and as you say, benefit themselves, but benefit the company and the firm, and also lift other employees up. Then you've got this kind of system, haven't you, in the workplace, where everybody's kind of cheering everybody on, everybody's keeping everyone going, and inspiring one another and pushing each other as well to do better and create better and collaborate as well on whatever, maybe new projects and sort of getting, I don't know, it promotes creativity, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, massively. I mean, I totally agree with everything you've said. And I think there's a, you know, especially now, there's so many more, you know, people have struggled, you know, this isolation that everyone's experienced. And, you know, I've read your book, which is excellent. And it really, you know, there is that crossover where we are, you know, there's social media, and it's allegedly now we're all so much socially connected. But actually, you know, there's so much, I feel like there's so much more disconnection, and also that kind of judgment that you're not quite doing it as well as somebody else. And you know, because like you say, you know, your book's called No Filter Needed, and it's just like, I was speaking to my friend the other day. She runs a really successful business in America, and we message every day, and voice message, and I was having this whole rant about, you know, like Instagram, and you know, like Instagram, it's really so often got no, it does not look like your real life at all. And it's like everyone's on there, and it's really the highlight reel, and it just doesn't show the picture at all. And I mean, I love social media on one hand, because I built my whole business through building community through Facebook, and you know, we wouldn't have this conversation if we hadn't kind of kept connected through social media. But equally, I feel like so many people are struggling because they're looking at others and they're comparing themselves against others, thinking they're not doing as well, or you know, they're not keeping up, or their life isn't, their relationships aren't perfect, and it really truly isn't the real picture. And you know, I was struggling, I don't know what it was, probably 8 months ago or so. I've struggled plenty of times since then, but like on this occasion, and I reached out to someone who I met through my community that I set up. And I said to her, oh, I think you could really help me with something. And she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you messaged me. She said, I've wanted to message you for ages, but you look like you've got everything sorted, and you're like so high above me, and you'd never need any help. And then it started this beautiful friendship. And it's just, you know, that's what I feel like. I don't know how to get over it, but I just, you know, I have this hate. I mean, you could talk about this forever because your book's all about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, and I have this love-hate relationship with it. Instagram's a really like tricky one. I was giving a talk at a school the other day, and they said that they are asking about social media, but Instagram particularly, because it's a kind of a big one. But it's in certain generations, because then also you've got the younger ones who aren't even interested, and they're all on TikTok. And it, you know, it's just the amount of platforms as well. There's so many different issues. And you know, even from a business owner point of view, of like, you know, overwhelm of where you should be, what you should be, you know, which platforms you should be focusing on. And it's like the platforms are in, you know, competition with each other as well. And, you know, I've just ducked out stories the other day I was away on the weekend, and I was filming stuff, because I'm going to start a vlog for YouTube, and I was filming stuff for that. And then, you know, long ways. And then I was like, oh, I need something for stories. So like portrait, like, yeah. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not even enjoying my time. I'm living for everybody else. Like, I'm not that they've even asked for it. But it just, because it's constantly, our phones are always with us and constantly kind of vying for our attention. It's always on our mind. And it's so easy to get sucked into the scrolling and the comparison side of things as well. I just think the platforms are very clever, and that's what kind of scares the living daylights out of me, to be honest.
It's that whole, did you watch that Netflix documentary, yeah, The Social Dilemma? I mean, honestly, they don't even give it to their children, the leaders of all these organizations, just don't, you know. And it is addictive. And recently, you know, with Clubhouse, are you on Clubhouse?
I'm on it, but I'm not on it. I'm in it. Yeah. No more platforms for me.
So this is the thing. I went on Clubhouse, and then, you know, I was building community like I've always have done. But then, and if you haven't been on Clubhouse, it's rooms and it's audio. And then if you put your hand up, you get invited on stage sometimes. And then if you're like really the high of the high, you get made a moderator. Anyway, and I was going on, and then if I didn't get picked, if I put my hand up, or if I didn't get made a moderator, then I was like, it was ruining my day. And I just thought, no, Claire, and I've come off it. But then there's still that anxiety, like everyone seems to be on there and, you know, building their followings. And I'm like, and that's another thing, you know, these, you know, building the followings and looking at the statistics and how many Instagram followers you have and how many people on Clubhouse. It's actually irrelevant, because what really matters in building community is the engagement. And you don't need tens of thousands of people to follow you to get that engagement. You know, you just need people who really share, you know, and are aligned with you. That's what's really important. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I think we all suffer with it. It just depends how many people express that they do feel anxiety around it, because people feel like they can't express these things sometimes. But I sometimes hold my heart on my sleeve, and you know, I've been told in the past that you shouldn't really say all this stuff because it doesn't make you look so much of an expert. But you know, I don't want to be that person. I want people to understand that being an entrepreneur and working for yourself and figuring it out, you know, it's a journey, and you don't have all the answers, and you do cry sometimes, and you do feel like you can't do it, but you know, that's normal and that's life. But put me back in an office, I'd hate it. Hate it. You know, I don't want to be stuck to a 9-to-5 job.
I've threatened that many times.
Oh, can you imagine?
I'd last like 2 days. I'd be like, you're doing it all wrong. We should be doing this. They'd be like, get out.
Yeah, we're unemployable now, aren't we? I'm just like, no. No,
it's always the grass is greener, you know. You always think, oh, they have it better. And again, it's that comparison thing, you know. Even, oh, I should just get an office job, or like, because you, it's what you perceive. And again, you're looking at the outside, you're not taking in the whole big picture. Right. You're just looking at the, yeah, just taking things at kind of face value, which they're not when you get into them.
Yeah,
one heck of a journey. You're totally right. And
let's not go down that journey, because I'll just be going on about it.
Well, I like to cry too. I cry on the regular. Oh my goodness. So yeah, and yeah, because I was, you know, you've got your podcast, haven't you? Your People, Culture and Community podcast. Yes. Is that right? The People, Culture and Community podcast.
You know, it's had a few name changes. But it's about people, it's about culture, and it's about community. And it's with me, Claire Berry-Louise. That's all you need to know.
But I love that you can, you know, you have the flexibility to, you know, change it. It's your podcast, you can do what you like.
This is the thing, isn't it? This is another thing about business. It's like, right, we need to have this sorted and the website sorted and this. It's like, you just try that. I just try the stuff and see if it works. And then if it doesn't, I just ditch it. I mean, that's kind of my way. I'm sure I don't have any, I was talking about this yesterday on Instagram. I don't have any magic blueprints. It's like, try it. Doesn't work, ditch it, move on to the next thing. So, but yes, I do have the podcast, which is only on series one. I'm going to launch series two shortly. But yeah, it's a nice way to rift and talk about things that matter. And I interviewed my daughter, and I think she was 8 at the time. So it'd be funny to look about what's life as an entrepreneur. So I can't remember what she said now, but it'd be interesting to listen to it.
Love it. I haven't listened to that episode. I'll have to tune into that. What does your daughter want to do? And is she kind of big on, is she quite good with communication? Because, you know, I worry as well about, and I've noticed it within myself, my ability to communicate properly with other people. This was a few years ago. It was kind of going downhill because so much was on like WhatsApp and messaging, and you know, it wasn't kind of the face-to-face communication that actually, you then struggle to make eye contact with people. You know, there was a real kind of lack of confidence there. And I just, you know, the younger generation are constantly on video calls and things like that, or Snapchatting each other, or I don't know what they're doing. I just, you know, wonder about actually communicating with people properly in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, I have 2 daughters, and I do worry about the whole technology and communicating, and I share a lot of the things that I go through with them. They're not massive on, it's just that addiction, I think, as well, with, like we were talking about earlier, because the younger, she does some game and you get the daily reward for going on there, and you know, but she's quite emotionally intelligent, and so she knows that she's being pulled into it, and sometimes she'll just cut it dead and she'll come out of it and that kind of thing. And the thing I think about communication, and I think this is rife with the younger generation as well, is, and it applies to everybody, is you write a text message and it can be interpreted in so many different ways. And I had a sort of a laugh with somebody a few weeks ago because my phone actually rang and I answered it. I was like, hi. And, you know, it wasn't scheduled. It was just a phone ringing, because, you know, I'm bad at this as well. I just don't ring people. I have, you know, I could tell you which of my friends ring me, and there's ones who will ring me, but there's hardly any. And the rest of it is just text messages. And then it's, you know, that's the thing about, you know, it's about communication, but communicating, I don't know, in the right way. And I do worry about this, because you can interpret. And the other thing is, you know, looking at some of my daughter's text messages from a friend that she used to have, who she used to be friends with, but she's not in contact with them much now. But, you know, it's all abbreviation, and, you know, it's not like, it's all, you know, I, you know, obviously LOL, but, you know, it goes beyond that. Like, thank you is TY, and like, literally you need a whole dictionary about that. I'm like, what is this? With you, like WIV. Now, if my daughter was writing with you, I'd probably pulling my hair out. But what's, you know, there's a knock-on effect with all of these things. And yeah.
You just reminded me, actually. I remember, because I didn't know they did it so much with the, like, with you. So we used to write that at school on, because like phones just come in. So it was text messages, no, like WhatsApp. But I remember it was actually affecting, so my like English papers and things like that, I'd have to correct myself, because I'd automatically be writing that as well. Yeah. And like with, is it, it's one extra letter. It's that much more work.
Yeah, why do it? WIV. It's like, why? I just, but it's true. You will, and it's so, you know, your peers rub off on you, and the way you're writing rubs off on you. And I've noticed this as well in communication. So somebody I work for and do some freelancing for, you know, the way he talks to me is, do this by tomorrow. You know, there's no thank you. And, you know, that's the way he communicates. And the emails will come through. Like this morning, I had like 15 WhatsApp saying, do this. You know, there was hardly any instruction in the WhatsApp. But what happens is, so I find that I respond to him in quick, short ways. So in the beginning, I'd be like, hi, how are you? Da, 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 da. He's got no interest for any of that. He's just like straight to the point, gets it done. And I understand that. And that's one of the things that, you, when you are building relationships and building community, it's about connecting with the person where they're at. He doesn't want a big spiel from me. He wants, yes, okay, that's it. He's not going to read into it. He's not going to bother whether you put thank you or anything like that. However, in the past, when I've been doing more work for him and then I've spoken to somebody else, I've noticed that I have to watch that I don't reply quickly to their messages and fill them out properly, because otherwise they would take it in a manner like, she's not very friendly, or she's rude or abrupt, and all those kind of things. So it really does rub off on the way you communicate and the way you build relationships with others. So you have to make sure that you are communicating in a way, you know, that's, and it's reading the signs. So if you have, you know, if you're building community and you've got a Facebook group, the way you get more engagement is answering people and often mirroring back the way they respond. So if someone responds in that community and says something, and maybe they end it off with a smiley emoji, when you respond to them, you end up in a smiley emoji. And it's that mirroring that starts creating that trust and that thing. That's like kind of one way that you sort of create rapport with others. So obviously this is not a podcast about how to build community engagement, but there's things like that that, you know, you can take away from this podcast and think, like, how are you communicating with others? Because that's how you can, you know, build value into the conversation and really connect in a deeper way with people and continue to build relationships with people. So yeah, just completely going off on a thread there.
No, not at all. I wholly agree. I was just thinking back, so the last podcast I did with Fiona Murden, psychologist, I think we were talking about mirroring as well. And it's an instinct thing to do, you know, we to be part of a community, to be feel part of the pack as well. But it's kind of a great skill to do. But I'm just thinking, it's learning other people's languages, isn't it? And it's not changing yourself, it's just knowing who you're dealing with. It's not suddenly, oh well, I have to be a different person, I have to communicate in a different way because the way I communicate is wrong. It's just carefully selecting, or I guess like tweaking a little bit your communication, not completely changing your entire way of communicating for that person. It's a bit like, you know, I put kisses at the end of my emails, in formal emails, well, not all of them, but quite a lot of them, and you know, with clients that reach out, Again, not all, but it's just one of my things. And then again, you know, sometimes people don't, and then you get one back, don't you? Because people just think, oh, okay then.
I reckon we could do a whole podcast on whether to put kisses on the end. Yeah. It's almost like, shall I? And then they do. And then especially with men as well, because then you don't want to like over encourage a man if he didn't mean to do that with a kiss. And does it mean like, should it be one kiss or two kisses? There's a whole thing, isn't there?
We're going to open up a whole can of worms if we go to the men thing of like, oh, how they feel of, you know, us leading them. Let's not go there.
Yeah, the whole kiss thing. And then I quite often do that. And then I reply quickly to somebody in my community the day who's a guy, and I just signed it off quickly with a kiss. And then I was like, oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean to put a kiss. But it's just a kiss, like, to me. But then you just, this is a bit about, you know, understanding others. And you can't ever know how someone will take it on, because you don't, you know, everyone's got their unique set of experiences in life and their unique values and their unique way of looking at something. So my sister, if you don't sign back with a kiss, she definitely feels like you're falling out with her. Like, and I'm like, what? I was just like trying to do 15 things at once and I just pressed it. You know, but it doesn't make her wrong or right. It doesn't make me wrong or right. It's just differences in people. So yeah.
Funny. Other people's reactions to how you kind of sign up, if people have like a really like strong reaction, that says far more about them than it does you. But also when you've been speaking to someone for a while, I think it would be wise to remember not to jump to conclusions early on in relationships. Or, you know, just when you're speaking to someone for the first like few times, until you kind of know their language and know the way they write, and then you can sort of figure it out, can't you, when you've got a bit more of the back picture and you can work out. But again, you know, text messages, email, they're toneless, so they can easily be taken.
So keep away from them, guys. That's the message. or voice memos, especially. That's a good thing on LinkedIn. No one sends voice notes on LinkedIn. Well, some people do, but people are astounded by them. Like, oh, I'm like, what? She has a voice? I love voice messages. I do them all the time. The best. Well, you know you do, but then if I don't read it, that's the other thing. Sometimes you can't listen to the voice memo and then you don't read it. Because I'm like a girl who either responds within 5 seconds or 5 weeks. It's like there's not really any middle ground to me. I'm just like, so, more voice memos, everybody, more talking.
Oh, I don't know about more voice. I'm a voice noter, and I think I drive everyone insane, because as soon as you start ramping up the conversation, they get longer and longer and longer, and then you're sort of going through a day and you're like, okay, I've got, someone sent me a 7-minute voice note, and they're just literally, you're not hugely intentional because you're not taking the time to write it, you're just like spieling, which can be nice in a way, but then you get kind of stuck. So I quite like, although I find it annoying, that Instagram cuts you off in a minute, and so does Facebook. Actually, it trains you to just get your information in there, and if you really need to send another one. But WhatsApp voice notes, it's dangerous.
You're right, it's super dangerous. Yesterday I was having a conversation with a guy on Instagram, and he sent me voice memos, and then there was 9 of them, so it was like 9 minutes, so they were very interesting. And then I sent him probably 9 back, so we should just had a phone call straight off.
Yeah. There's the other thing, it's like, should we just have a call? I just find it's difficult to refer back to stuff. So even like my PA Zoe, bless her, she will take the time to write. Actually, she sends me voice notes too, but I'll voice note back. But then if I need to refer to back to something, or if she needs to refer back to something, who knows where it is, because all the voice notes look the same. So yeah,
no perfect solution after all. So actually, scrap that, don't send too many.
We've gone right off topic here. Let's bring it back. Let's talk about value. So I know you're a big advocate of giving value, as am I, you know, because that builds trust for people, and you can obviously do it on the work front, but also in your personal life, you know, just adding value. And it's not adding values to someone's life, and it's not, you know, giving up your time and at the expense of you, but there's so much that you can give to people that invite them in to work with you, or to be with you, or to spend more time with you. So what kind of what are the best ways, and I don't know, obviously I know you work with a lot of employees and companies, but even on a personal kind of level, what, you know, what are the best ways of giving value to people that you've seen or that you encourage people to do?
Well, I think in terms of giving value, I think it starts with your intention anyway for any relationship. So I really hate the inbox on LinkedIn, because people, I have no idea who they are offering me things. Mm. And I know they're just trying to sell me. And firstly, that if you're going to give value, or, you know, you're going to connect with someone, why is it you're connecting with them? It's okay to have a kind of aspiration or a goal or something in the long term. So, for example, if we're talking about the dent community, so we joined the accelerator, as we did. And then following being on that accelerator, which was 9 months, there was a Facebook group, and then Dent would put on community events and events in London. And then they offered, you know, they asked, do people want to volunteer to help? So I volunteered to help. I live in Devon. So, you know, it's a big journey. I probably have to do an overnight stay. Probably cost me $400 or $500 a trip to go and do it. I didn't get paid. I went along. I helped. I talked. You know, I built relationships over a long time. And then, you know, a few years later, I don't know how many years later, 2 or 3 years later, I was trying to think how it happened. I was having lunch with Daniel Priestley, and it was just us having lunch because I can't remember why. I think I won some competition actually on that thing, because he asked in the Dent community for reviews. And I remember I wrote a review for his book, or I don't know if he asked for that, but there was something about it. And I remember I read, he just launched a new book, and I remember I read the book and I wrote him an Amazon review, but it wasn't this much. It was like, oh, you can't see that if you listen to it, this much. It wasn't four lines. It was a proper, you know, A4 page of going through all of it and everything that I thought about the book. And I won some competition for to have an hour's mentoring with him or something like that. And I knew him already before that, but, you know, I'd obviously gone overboard with giving the value anyway. And we had this lunch conversation, and we were talking about community and my business. And then he said to me that he didn't really trust giving his community over to anybody else because he'd had bad experiences in the past or something. He said, would you like to be the community manager for my client community at Dent? And for me, that was like one of my biggest, you know, like, I love Dent, I love the community, you know, I really am inspired by Daniel Priestley, I love the team, but I knew all the team. And, you know, he asked me, I didn't go in there pitching, like, can I run your community? Can I do this? But that was a slow, slow burn. It wasn't, you know, and I think that's a really good example of how you lead with value. But if I'd gone in thinking, right, I'm going to go and help at these events because I want to run his community, I want to do this, I want to work with Dent. But in my head, I was like, I'd love the experience of working with a global organization. I remember thinking, I'd love to be part of this more. And so I just took the first step, and that was just volunteering, like offering my services just to help and talk and hand out flyers or whatever it might have been. And I've done that in so many other scenarios. And not every time do I get the gig or get, you know, even there is no intention necessarily to get a gig, but it's just about being open. And, you know, sometimes I used to go along to those events and there'd be people, you know, moaning about something or other. I'm like, well, if you're moaning, don't come and help. Like, what are you trying to do? You're just trying to hang out with Daniel Priestley, or you actually want to be part of this community and talk to other like-minded people. So I think that's something that I'd share in terms of building value. And in terms of friends and that kind of thing, I mean, if you've got friends who are draining and always asking for stuff or always moaning, you know that you're not inclined to spend much time with them. So I think, you know, it's often about listening as much as it is about talking, and, you know, listening to others, hearing their points of view. And, you know, you can give a lot of value to people by just being that ear to people, because sometimes some people just like to talk about themselves all the time, which feels like it's me today, but it is a podcast with me.
This is my moment.
So yeah, I think that's really important. That if you're starting out in business or if you've got a business, that's why I think community building is so important, because I was thinking about this earlier. I think every single opportunity I've had has come from me building relationships. So I haven't done Facebook ads and got people into a funnel and, you know, gone that way. You know, I've known pretty much every client, or I've been referred by somebody, and that's because I aspire and I try to, you know, lead with value and lead with, you know, looking for what people need, like how can you help somebody out. And you know, I've been on quite a few podcasts, and I know that some people do this, but they will say, okay, I'll be on your podcast, but can you tell me how many listeners you generally get? Can you send me the statistics? Where's this going, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, if one person listens to this podcast, to me, that's enough. Because to me, if you can impact one person's life, that's what's really important. And, you know, I've not even thought about it. I don't care if no one listens to it, because I've had a nice conversation with you. So I think it's sometimes a shift in mindset, and I believe that things come back to you, you know, where you give out and you give value to others, it may come back from a different source. So, you know, I've had so many opportunities come to me from different sources, but I always try to lead with, you know, giving value and helping people first. And sometimes I have to hold back on that, because, you know, otherwise I'm just constantly giving free chats to people who share and all about how to build community, you know. So there is a kind of middle ground as well, because we are in business at the end of the day. So I have learned that, but in the first few years, and you know, in later years, I'm trying to hold back so much on that, because I just give away all my stuff to people and they go, thanks, Claire, that's amazing. I'm like, cool. But you know, that doesn't build a business. So,
I resonate with all of that so much. But I also think we have this kind of feedback. If we start feeling drained or annoyed or angry or whatever, then it means, you know, because we have to, there has to be like that balance of giving and receiving, not necessarily like for like, but it's just that balance. And I think when you're feeling agitated or annoyed, you're giving too much, or you're giving to the wrong thing to the wrong person or to the wrong person. But I totally agree about all of that, you know. Everything you put out there just coming back in another way. And that's, I can think of so many examples across my life, particularly with business, where that's kind of happened. And stuff comes back today from literally like 10 years ago, from like the odd BNI meeting or whatever, and this goes back to social media, doesn't it? Probably Facebook in particular, if we're going back that far back, because I still have, you know, friends. On my Facebook but you know, I don't see all the time, and I haven't seen for years, but you know, you're still in the mind, and you're able to see their updates and communicate with them and be in their mind, so they can kind of refer you on, or you can help there. I always get asked to help people's nieces or daughters or whatever out, and particularly on the makeup or the beauty or even just business stuff, so it's nice to be able to do that, and it always comes back around. I think the issue that I have, and you strike me as you might probably be a little bit similar in this department, is, you know, a lot of, not business coaches as such, but you know, business, like you need to know where your leads are coming from and numbers and da da da, and I'm like, I don't work like that. And as soon as I do, I don't feel good, things stop working and dry up. And as soon as I relax and just do whatever makes me happy and give value wherever I can when it comes up, not necessarily seeking it, that's when, you know, work starts flowing in, things start happening, opportunities arise, people just come into my life. So I battle with that a lot, because I'm just, when I try to grab onto it too much and sort of track and crunch numbers, then it just doesn't work. It never has for me.
No, that's a massive thing. That's because, like I was sort of saying, you know, all of my opportunities have come through like serendipity or coincidence, you know, all those kind of things. And you know, I've had mentors who I've worked with for years about you know, how to be in flow, and, you know, and a lot of being in flow in life is where things will just happen, or you'll bump into somebody, or you'll have that conversation with someone that will go somewhere else. So I think in terms of living in flow, it's about, you know, taking opportunities when they come up and doing things that feel exciting, as opposed to the things that feel really, really heavy. And it's also, I think there's quite a big thing around boundary setting. So, you know, being upfront. So with my personal coaching clients in the past, I haven't done all this, but in recent times, you know, I set them an agenda, like, this is what it means. So, you know, this is when you can contact me. And, you know, like, I set that out, that, you know, the contact time, say, during our hours coaching, and it doesn't continue in between, because otherwise you can end up with loads and loads of emails and answering stuff in between. But does that mean that I don't contact them in between because I want to, or send them a message on Instagram? Yes, I do that, but at least everybody knows where they are from the start. And, you know, I've been guilty of just going, yeah, I can do it, and I'll help. And I think also there's a big discussion around self-worth as well. So when I felt less worthy of my expertise, then I would have a tendency to overgive. So when you lean into that conversation, so, you know, am I worth whatever it is I'm charging? And then you think, okay, well, I'm not, so I'll give an hour's coaching, but then I'll send them a document, and then I'll follow up, and I'll keep adding and adding, because that will make me feel more worthy. And it's a process that you need to go through, where you can strip that away and say, okay, so say, you know, it's £100 an hour to work with me. What makes you worth £100 as opposed to £15? Well, you know, I've spent tens of thousands on the best mentors in the world. I've been on the best accelerators in the world. You know, I've had conversations with, you know, and I'm connected to lots of really successful business people all the time. And those, the things that you pick up from the people who are around you, you can pass on then to your clients. And so that's taken me 8 years to acquire. I've spent tens of thousands of hours on courses, reading books, you know, updating my knowledge. And I think there's a massive mind shift that goes from that. So, you know, an hour of my time, if I valued myself more, you know, it could be way higher than I even charge now. But it's about feeling comfortable with what you're charging, and really understanding that it's not about the hour. And there's some story, I wish I could remember it, but you know why some guy said he wanted something fixing, and he just screwed one thing, and so that'll be £10,000 for you. He said, well, you just screwed one thing. He said, yes, but I knew how to screw that one thing. And that's the difference. So, and I think there's a massive, I think a lot of people who work for themselves would probably resonate with what I've just said. It's kind of one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. Anyway, I remember even in like the makeup world, I remember a couple of years ago, the little like meme kind of flying around. It's like, you're paying me, you know, you're paying me for the 12 years that I've been, you know, crafting my craft, not for the half an hour that it took me to put the makeup on or whatever.
Yeah.
The hour, you know, that's what you're paying for. And it goes for everything. And I think, yeah, we have to remind ourselves of that with other people, but also, yeah, if you've got your own business or you're a freelancer, or you most people got side hustles now anyway, most people have got something going on, that yeah, it's really important to remember that, and remember your mountain of value, as Daniel would say.
Mountain of value, Daniel Priestley. We're remembering the course, Daniel.
Claire, this has been so amazing having you on. Thank you so much for the chat. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been very fun talking to you about all these things. I could carry on and on.
I know. Part two. We'll do after doing
part two. We'll come. Yeah. Thank
we'll
you.
Be back. Thank you're welcome. You. And if people want to find out more about you, more about the work that you do, where can they find you? Where should they
go? Probably the easiest way is just to go along to my website, which is Claire with an I and an E, PerryLouise.com, and then you can find out more about me there, and you can connect with me on Instagram. Probably find lots of ways to message me nowadays.
You've got a few Instagram accounts, haven't you? Or have you?
Well, I have another one called Soul Plan, which is something that I learned, and is a way to basically it looks at your birth name and it shows different energies from your birth name, which kind of map out where your life will take you and things, and it's super interesting. So that's kind of like my hobby. So yeah, the soul plan with Claire, but you don't want to be on that one for this, not for community building, but it's super interesting. So but that's another podcast again.
We've got a whole series.
We have. We can do this. Yeah, so that's the easiest way. So thank you.
Wonderful. And actually, before I let you go, I always ask everybody if I've forgotten my own question now. It's along the lines of, I haven't asked this for a while. What do you want for the world? You know, if there was one thing that you would love to see in the world and that you'd want for everybody in it, what would that be? And it can be anything at all.
Well, that would be happiness. And that's why, you know, my vision has been, you know, for employee happiness to be the norm and not the exception. And I really wish more people were happier and more fulfilled with what they have already, because adding things to your life, or shopping, or drinking, or all those other things that we do to kind of numb us, like, I really wish that, you know, we could just find happiness in the present and with what we have, because we are so lucky in so many ways, and we all have inside us everyone has a real purpose and a real reason for being here. And I think sometimes we can get so bogged down in life itself that we kind of forget that, and we don't enjoy the journey, and we get anxious about things, and, you know, how we look on social media. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's like, you know, when you come to your life, and there's a great book about that, about someone who looked back and had conversations with people who were in the final weeks of their life, and they, you know, it wasn't what iPhone they had, you know, it was connections and family and all those kind of things. So yeah, more happiness in the world, and more connection, because we're all so disconnected. So more community for everybody, so in every aspect, like in your local community, online communities, everything. So that's me. So
I totally agree. And, you know, it's I don't know, I feel like the happiness comes from stripping things back. It's never putting other stuff on. It's just getting back to that simple place. I think Serena and I were talking about it on the previous podcast a few episodes ago. But yeah, you're so right. I think with the pandemic as well, and the lack of communication or a different way of communicating, like, community is going to come back with a bang.
You're in the right
industry, Claire.
Yeah. 9 years I've been saying community will be the core of all businesses, and people will be like, yeah, what are you talking about, Claire? Now this is my time.
Yes. I've arrived.
Claire has arrived. She's arrived. So but anyway, there we go. Awesome. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. You too. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got some good takeaways from today. And if so, then please do leave a review. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And you can find further insights and tools over at camillacollins.com.